when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon and good evening for everybody out there in Blood River Radio land. I would like to thank you people from the bottom of my heart for listening to our show. I hope we can get more and more listeners because I think this show is vital. I really do. We are the only radio show in the world that I know of that started, we originally started to combat global white genocide. Our poster child was South Africa. If you really want to know the truth, our poster child really is becoming in the entire white world. And we'll get to that later in the second hour. But you're listening to Blood River Radio, just in case you didn't know, in case you didn't recognize my voice, Eddie Bombardier Miller. And it is October the 30th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2021. And like we always see here in Blood River, there is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. That is the only way. And you also know, all you veterans of our radio show and all you newcomers, you will know, you will learn that on this radio show, we always open with a prayer. So if you will, people, please bow your heads just for a minute while I say a little prayer to thank our Lord and Savior. Almighty Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Eddie Miller and Blood River Radio, the God of Sam, the God of Jay, the God of Cam, the God of all our listeners, please, please protect us. Continue to protect us. Give us your grace and guidance against the enemy that is growing, seems to be growing stronger every day, Lord. And I think that's probably just you're testing our faith. If you will, Lord, also, like we always say here, please, Lord, give us wisdom and discernment to know how to fight this enemy, to how best to fight it. Give us the courage, the pit bull guts to where we will always ride to the sound of the gunfire, never shirking our duties, to always fight for your honor, Lord, and give you all the glory for all successes. I ask all this in your son's name, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, Lord. Yes, he did, people. Jesus Christ Almighty died on the cross while we were yet sinners. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, right off the bat, you know another thing we always have to do, and really it's a pleasure, we have to thank our donors, the people that finance the show. I would like to thank Micah in Maryland, and he also sent a really nice little card. It says, the pumpkins are smiling. Hope you're smiling too. I said, this is to the Blood River Radio gang. So, Cam, that means you too, a young fella. It says, here's your Halloween funds. This is my favorite season. Cheers. That's a really, really nice card. It's got it's really, really nice artwork on it. We also got a donation from Ken in Lynbrook, New York. I mean, I don't know how he does it. I mean, he just sends it and sends it and sends it. I'd like to thank you so much, Ken and Micah. I don't know anybody that out donates Ken. He's like regular as the Big Ben in London. But Ken and Micah, without people like you, there'd be no Blood River Radio. There would be no Liberty News. none of us would be here. So thank you so much. People like to tell you, the first part of the show tonight, we're going to have some incredible guests on. I've had a lot of people tell me, how the hell did you get those people? Well, we have a lady who's a fan living in Missouri who put me onto their trail and God's Wild on Blood River Radio, we were able to get Mr. Fred Leutcher, Mr. Jürgen Neumann. They're very, very famous in our patriot movement. They're with all patriotic Americans, patriotic Southerners, patriotic white people all over the world. Anybody, if you're a white person all over the world, you have the faintest notion of the Holocaust lie. Like Monica Schaefer always likes to say, the Holocaust lie is the linchpin of all lies. And one of our duties, if you'll go to Blood River Radio's website, one of our main duties is to attack all lies. The lies told about the South, about the Confederacy, about Germany, World War I, World War II, Korea, all these lies, and especially that most dirty, most wicked lie of all, the stinking Holocaust lie. And without further delay, I want to meet Mr. Fred Leutcher to come on and give him a his quick bio. After he gives his bio, Mr. Jürgen Neumann will give his bio. But Mr. Neumann was the right-hand man of none other than Ernst Sundell. So I'm going to shut up now. Also, people, we're going to have Miss Berta Voss coming back on again, too. So right quickly, I'm going to reverse myself. Since Berta is the lady, I'll get her to just introduce yourself quickly, Miss, if you will, Miss Berta.
Hello. I did last year a Holocaust special with Monica Schaefer, and now I'm very happy to accompany this another show about the Holocaust, and I'm happy to ask Fred Leuchter and Mr. Jürgen Neumann some questions about their findings in Auschwitz and so on.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, people. That's right. Ms. Berta laid it out. Mr. Fred Leutcher, the engineer, he's going to kind of captain the show with Jürgen in there, too. They're going to be kind of running the show, just letting you people know. And after the breaks, Ms. Berta is going to be asking the questions. I'm going to be pretty much just these master of ceremonies. So if you will, Mr. Fred, would you give the audience a quick bio? And then Mr. Jürgen can give his bow. So go ahead, Mr. Fred. Take off, fella. Show's yours.
Okay. I'm an engineer. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, here in the United States. And I was on Ernst Sundell's defense team on his second trial. He sent me to Poland to examine the alleged execution gas chambers that were allegedly operated by the Germans during World War II, and I found that they were non-existent, and I came back and I wrote my well-known Leuchter report, which was given to the court, and it's gone all over the world now, and it effectively says that it's impossible to use gas for mass executions. So there were no gas chambers, there was no Holocaust. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, thank you so
okay,
much.
My name's Jürgen Neumann, and I had the privilege of being Ernst Sundell's videographer for more than 20 years. Met him when I was very young and got into everything that all the anti-German stuff because my parents are German. And we, anyway, as videographer, when we were introduced to Fred during the second trial that he had, and I was privileged to be able to be part of the team that Mr. Sundell sent to the various former concentration camps in Poland in order to discern what the realities of it all was. And so I had a lot of good times with Fred and the rest of our crew. And we produced some good videos, and definitely, I mean, I always thought that there was a problem with the Holocaust story anyway, but the final nail in the coffin to make me believe that it didn't happen was actually going there. So Fred and I, we had some good times there, and I'll always remember that when we came back, Fred was kind enough to make up some T-shirts for the five members of the team, which on the front said, the Auschwitz Five. And on the back it said, we survived the Auschwitz Hotel. Remember that, Fred?
Yes, I do.
Still got that shirt. It's great.
Well, that's good. Fond memories.
Yes, indeed. So, Bertha.
Yes. First of all, it was in the 80s when you were going to Poland.
Yeah, the Fred Loyster team, we went 1988.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we still had the Iron Curtain. Was it easy to get the visa or get into Poland for Americans and you, Jürgen?
Yes, I don't recall having any problems at all.
Yeah, the Iron Curtain had effectively just come down. And outside of the fact that the government still tended to be obnoxious, they weren't as difficult as they would have been a year earlier. But we managed to get in, and we managed to get around, and we managed to get all my samples that I had taken out, and for that I was branded some kind of a vandal.
Mr. Fred, we have to go to our first commercial break, so hold on to that thought. We'll go right back to you as soon as we come back from this break. People, hold on. We're going to go right back to Mr. Fred Loitzer as soon as this commercial break is ended.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Well, dear people, I wish we could let that music there, that piece of music play for about all the way through, because that's a great German song. I believe it was created, I think that's what they called, I didn't know. It's the Ernst Wiesel song, I believe. Well, anyway, people, we're going right back. You're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie L. Miller, Eddie the Bobadil Miller. We're going to go right back to Fred Loitzer, and he's going to continue up right where he left off when we went to the break. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, we did get into Poland, and we did a lot of our work kind of surreptitiously, because when you're chiseling away at so-called national monuments, you don't want people looking over your shoulder. We had to place lookouts at both doors to the alleged gas chamber at Auschwitz. And the lookouts would tell us when tours were coming through or visitors were coming through, and we would stop. And as it was bad enough because the morgue, which they termed the gas chamber, was very hollow. And every time I used my hammer on the chisel, it reverberated throughout the entire building. Right, Jürgen?
Oh yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I remember the scouts that were out there, because I remember the first time we went and visited it, that we couldn't get anything done because there were so many tourists going through there.
Yes, yes.
So it's a big business over in Poland doing the Holocaust and stuff. So yeah, we went.
Were the people all from Soviet Union, or was it international already?
It was international.
Yeah, oh, you mean for the tourists?
Yes, oh, yeah, yes, they come. The tourists.
Yeah, a lot of them come from Germany and Austria and Poland. Poland especially, they sent a lot of school children and soldiers through there.
It's part of the brainwashing procedure. They send them there so they can see the real thing. Or I should say the real lie.
Well, the last thing I know today is, well, that you don't have to go. And those people who went, they had to wait 3 hours before to step in to this tour to take a look around outside, you know, in a row.
Oh, really?
Was it also that busy when in the 80s when you were there, or was it more relaxed?
Well, it was more relaxed back then. Didn't seem to be any waiting. He just walked up.
Yeah.
Basically, he just went there, and they did have guided tours if you wanted to take one. But if you didn't want to take one of those, you could just walk in and out of there, no problem. And that's why we could get in there with cameras and things.
They made it more formal now because as people that are taking pictures, I see they got these tape barricades that they put up on posts, so that you can't walk up and touch things anymore. I think you're probably afraid somebody like me is going to get in there with a hammer and chisel.
Well, if everybody does it, there is soon nothing left of it, you know.
Yes, well, that's good. I would like to see nothing left of it yesterday. But, you know, I'll tell you, the thing that impressed me the most, and I still remember, when we went into Birkenau, you couldn't drive in, and we had a park on the outside and walk in. And it was snowing the day we walked in. It was a very cold day, and we had snow squalls. And I've never been in snow squalls like that before, because we were walking maybe single file or two up, and as we were walking in, we couldn't see the person in front of us. And then we'd walk out of the snow squall, and all of a sudden we could see each other. And then 10 seconds later, we were at the snow squall started again, and we were lost in the snow. You remember that, Jürgen?
Oh, yeah. That was something.
I thought
we were up in the Arctic someplace or something for a bit. And the place was really cold when we were in Auschwitz, where you're talking about the echoing in the gas chamber. It was in February.
Yes.
And I remember, I worked in construction, and I worked outside in all kinds of weather and stuff, but I'll tell you, I thought that was the coldest I had ever been. I had to hold the camera with one hand and put my other hand in the pocket to keep it warm and then switch over, and I was really wondering whether or not the camera would actually record it was that cold. But luckily, it did.
And remember, that's the place where they said that the gas sublimated from the Zyklon B particles. You have to have a temperature of 78 to get it to sublimate. And the temperature in the Poland winter was freezing, so you couldn't have had any of that happen in the first place.
That's right. And you could tell by the building that it didn't have any some kind of heating system. So, yes, it definitely could not have worked that way whatsoever.
People don't put heat in morgues.
And so I remember when we were at Birkenau after the snow kind of let up on us and stuff, Now, Fred was a real hero here, I'll tell you, because we went to the remnants of one building, which they call Crema 2, which is supposed to be one of the main gas chamber installations, which had been destroyed by the Germans when they left that area in 45. And the only way you could get down there to have some look-see in the place where the gas chambers were supposed to have been and to collect some samples and stuff was to go down this narrow hole into the ruins underneath. And so Fred tried to get in there, and he couldn't get in there because he was just too bundled up with his coat and everything because it was very cold that day. And so what does he do? He takes his coat off even. So talk about dedication. He takes his coat off and struggles down through that hole and takes all these samples, et cetera, et cetera. And it must be just freezing down there. And now that's what I call dedication, Fred. You were really something else. I was impressed.
It goes with the territory. You got a job to do. You got to get the job done. And yeah. I remember being down in the hole, and I had to walk around stoop down there because the entire ceiling or floor from the area above had collapsed on top of me. And I remember when you lowered the camera, you had the camera on the end of a rope, and I had to wait for the camera to stop oscillating so I would be in the frame. So it was a very interesting time.
Yeah. What's most interesting about that particular thing was that one of the so-called main historians, German historians, had commented on the Leuchter video and stuff back in the day in newscasts and stuff. And he said, oh, all this thing about Fred going down underneath these, into the Crema 2 basement, all this stuff is all nonsense. He said, there's nothing there but a hole in the ground. So it just goes to show you where is his,
very clever,
credibility when he says things like that. He's obviously, number one, never been there, and number two, of course, he's just trying to discredit things. He's not a historian at all.
When did he say that?
Oh, I forget exactly when. Okay, that was back in maybe 89 or something like that.
Oh, they were still there then. I understand now that they've removed all of the debris, and there were just holes in the ground now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. So it doesn't, at least according to people that Rizzoli has talked to.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, they want to make sure that there's less and less for competent people to examine.
Mm-hmm.
And once they've gotten rid of all the stuff, nobody knows what was there in the first place.
Right.
So. Keep changing it so nobody knows what's happening at any given time.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like actually being there.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But I think if we went back, I don't think we'd know where we were.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a fun time, and it was an interesting time. You were going to say something, Brenda? Yes.
Yes. So you were chiseling some samples, and there was no problem with these samples getting out of Poland again, no checking or so. I remember the German border was strictly, you were very strictly checked when you tried to get through, or when people were visiting each other as relatives, They get checked three times or so something.
What I did was my ex-wife was with me, and I put all the samples, and I mixed it in with our dirty underwear and our dirty socks. So when they opened it up, they looked at it, they said, yuck, and they just closed the bag up.
Fred, we have to get to a break.
Fine.
Dear guests, we have to go to a break. People, dear listeners, hold on to your seats. We'll be right back after the second break we're going to.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. Infections, hospitalizations, and deaths linked to COVID-19 have risen among people who have gotten a COVID-19 vaccine in recent months, according to newly released data from the CDC. But the bulk of the cases, hospitalizations, and deaths remained among unvaccinated Americans, the data showed. It should be noted, however, that among the unvaccinated are those who have had both shots, but 14 days have not yet passed. Virginia Republican gubernatorial candidate Glenn Youngkin told Newsmax on Friday that momentum is shifting his way from his Democratic rival, former Governor Terry McAuliffe, in the race because he is part of a movement, not a campaign.
It is so exciting to be part of it. I mean, 10 months ago, I had 2% name ID, and here we are getting ready as Virginians to get our Commonwealth back moving in the right direction.
This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
When asked about President Biden's claim that his massive Build Back Better social spending plan will add $0 to the deficit because it will be paid for by tax increases, Senator John Kennedy responded with a mocking remark during an appearance on Fox News with Harris Faulkner.
Oh, well, somebody at the White House has been smoking the devil's lettuce, okay? Hey. I mean, I'm just telling you, if they think this is zero, either that or they think the American people are morons and will believe anything.
Kennedy says Democrats think they can tax, spend, and regulate us into prosperity, and they think America can only be great through its federal government. Lawmakers who may have been involved with the planning of rallies on January 6th are coming under renewed scrutiny over their roles, teeing up questions of whether the committee investigating the attack on the Capitol may take the historic step of subpoenaing sitting members of Congress. This is USA Radio News.
Well, dear Blood River Radio people, Miss Beretta, if I remember right, she had asked Mr. Fred Leutcher a question before we enter the break. So Fred is going to go in and answer Miss Beretta's question, and then he's going to give you some more details about what why he went to Germany in the first place. Go ahead, Mr. Fred.
Yeah, as a follow-up to your question about getting samples out, as I said, we mixed them with our dirty laundry, but we had an additional problem, and the problem was that my ex-wife's son was in the military here in the United States, and he was killed in an auto accident. And they notified her ex-husband. Her ex-husband decided he had to reach her, and so the only thing to do was to reach me because they knew who I was. And they contacted the State Department in Washington. And they identified me as one of the United States' top chemical warfare experts, which is a far cry. I'm an expert on execution gas chambers. Well, what now happened is some idiot at the embassy in Washington contacts the embassy in Poland on an unscrambled line and tells them that America's top chemical warfare expert is on a trip in Poland. So now I got the KGB and the secret police and the Polish police, and everybody is on the lookout for me. Well, when the embassy figured out what was going on, they assigned one of the consuls, and she drove halfway across Poland to find us. And she said, technically, I'm going to be in her custody because they're afraid of what's going to happen because she didn't know. And I told her, I said, I'm not a chemical warfare expert. I said, I'm an expert on execution equipment. And she said, oh, my God. Yeah, well, so they were looking for us. And when we got back, she was with us the entire time when we threw customs and everything till we got on the airplane. So I don't know. Maybe that's why there was nobody sitting in those two seats. Maybe she told them not to. But yes, so that made it increasingly difficult because I was now under a microscope. But at any rate, we did get out, and I brought the samples back, and I sent them to the laboratory, and the results of the testing was put into my report. Now, I was officially part of the Ernst Drundel defense team. I was there on the request of Robert Forreson because Dr. Forreson, he had been telling everybody for years that we need to get an expert on execution equipment from the United States. This is the only place where they ever executed anybody with a gas chamber. So they brought me in, and I was qualified by the court, and I was certified as an expert, and the report was presented to the court. Now, interestingly enough, now Doug Christie, his attorney's problem started because the Judge Thomas, wouldn't accept the report as a report. He said, we'll accept the fact that Fred Luch is an expert, but he's going to have to testify all of the information into the record, which I did. And I testified everything that was done and everything that was in the report, which was a major mistake for the court, because what happened is this had never been aired before, and all the news media was taking all the information down. If he accepted it as a report, he probably could have buried it, but he couldn't do that at this point because he was stupid. Now, the other problem we got was, he wouldn't accept the second part of my report or allow me to testify on it because I had never built a crematorium, and I covered a lot of information in the crematory. Well, before, as an engineer,
we're getting a lot of background noise. Are you waving your phone around or something? We're getting a lot of strange background noise.
I heard it. I don't think so. Okay. As a result, they wouldn't accept the second half of the report. We had to testify; it had to be testified into the record. Now, before I went, I wasn't a crematory expert. No, I never built a crematory, but I spent 2 weeks working at a crematory here in near my home here in Massachusetts to learn how bodies were cremated, and I operated the oven. I operated the bone crunching machine, so I was fully familiar with what was being done, and I also discussed the type of cremation. They use gas as opposed to coal and coke. But at any rate, what they did was they got Canada's top crematory expert to read my report. And he testified every single word of my report into the record, saying everything there is perfect. That's exactly all true. So the only thing that the judge did when he refused to accept the report was to make it all public. And it still is in the record, and it still shows that there were no gas chambers, and it still shows that how the crematories could not have kept up with that volume that they say they kept up with. So that was a mistake on the part of the judge, and that opened the floodgates, because once that happened, the world knew that something was wrong.
Mr. Fred, one more quick question.
Sure.
Now, you are certified, correct me if I'm wrong, you are certified as an expert in Canada?
Yes.
United States and certain parts, states in Germany, as an expert on gas chambers. Am I right or wrong?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. And I just want the audience to know this is not a fly-by-night man. He knows what he does. And also, you sent these samples you took from these so-called concentration camps, these so-called gas chambers. You sent those to multiple independent testing laboratories, did you not, Mr. Fred?
No. I sent it to one test lab, Alpha Laboratory. Okay. It was recommended by the state licensing board as the top chemical analysis lab in the state and one of the top in the country. And after all of the information was done, the Jews threatened the chemist who was the head of the laboratory, and he testified in court as to everything they found. But subsequently, the Jews got to him, and they must have threatened him and his family, because he later made a statement that he didn't test anything right because I didn't tell him what I had. Well, I wasn't going to tell him I had samples of Holocaust gas chambers, because had I done that, well, he would have, you know, and that's not a fair thing to do, because it's going to color somebody's work when they do the investigation. I had to overcome that problem because I thought I was going to find gas chambers. So, I mean, I had the same problem, and I wasn't going to put anybody else in the same position. But at any rate, he subsequently said, and he made himself sound like an idiot, he said that the prussic acid, the blue, Prussian blue, that coats the walls of the alleged gas chambers, only is on the surface, and because I took too big a chunk of the wall, he couldn't test it properly. And the problem is that everybody, even non-experts, even non-chemists, know that the Prussian blue migrates right through the wall from the inside to the outside. So he made himself sound like an idiot, and nobody believed him. But I feel sorry for him, because he's no longer here. I don't know where he went. And as I say, I believe he was threatened. It seems that everybody associated with me was threatened at one time or another. When I was on trial here in Massachusetts for practicing as an engineer without a license, which no license is required, I had trouble getting an attorney. The last attorney that the court appointed was my seventh attorney. They threatened his 3-year-old daughter. They threatened to kill her if he defended me.
Dang.
And the judge wouldn't let him off the case. I told the judge, Fred, let him go.
I have another question, which is more to the topic now.
Right.
When you go to Wikipedia, or at least I did it for a while, according to the Holocaust, you can read that the gassing was not primarily done with cyclin B.
Miss Berta, I'll save that question.
Monoxide.
We have to go to a break. Dear people, hang on. We're going to our final segment. This hour is really going by, but we'll be right back.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Well, dear people, dear Blood River Radio audience, we're in the last segment of the first hour. We're going right back to Miss Bertha. She has some questions for Mr. Fred Leutcher. Go ahead, Miss Bertha, ask your question, dear.
So, my question was, because when you go on now on Wikipedia, that the killings of the Jewish people was more done by monarch side, because it was more right. accessible than the Cyclone B, which is kind of very special chemical. Right. And, yeah, I would like to know if this right. maybe matches up more the results, or does it...
No. No, I cover that. I cover that in my report because I discuss briefly the wood-burning stoves sometimes discussed. I discuss carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide. Basically, my report is clear. It says that you cannot do mass executions, and by mass executions, I mean more than two or three people with mm-hmm. any gas. It's not practical, and it doesn't work. I can't even design anything that would do that. But the interesting thing here is that what they don't tell people is they talk about carbon monoxide and they talk about exhaust from cars, etc. And yes, people do die from exposure to exhaust gas. But what they don't realize is that only a lot of people have attempted suicide with that, but only about 6 or 7% of the people die. The rest of the people, wind up 8 or 10 hours later with a terrible headache, and that's the worst they get. The thing that they don't discuss is the fact that you have to have a heavy concentration of the exhaust gas over a long period of time. And this long period of time never happened. They keep talking about gas executions, that the people were dead, and the people were removed from the gas chambers in less time than it takes us here in the United States. I mean, so the bottom line is that it takes hours, many hours, to kill somebody with any type of exhaust gas. And I discussed that briefly in the report, because my report basically dealt with the facilities at Auschwitz-Birkenau and Majdanek. And the other thing that they don't talk about a great deal is that the SS did not buy a lot of Zyklon B. They did most of their delousing with steam, and they also had microwave delousing machines because they were cheaper. And they were faster. So there's a lot that they don't tell people, and it gets there's so much that happened, and so much information involved that most people don't understand the complexity of the things that we discuss. So, but yes, remember it's Wikipedia is run by Jews, and they actually call my report a pseudo-scientific document, which it's not. I am the only person on the planet that knows how to do gas executions. Everybody that's done them, they're all dead now. And so I'm the only one that has any knowledge of them. And I, as I've said before, I like the Pope. The Pope speaks ex cathedra on matters of faith. I speak ex cathedra on matters of gas chambers. There's nobody that I have no peers. So always remember when you listen to these people that they never say that. They don't have anybody that can even argue intelligently with me.
Yes, on the subject of...
go ahead. I was just going to say quickly...
On the subject of...
I was just going to say this real quickly. Fred was recommended as an expert by the Missouri State, the warden of the Missouri State Prison. His dad worked in Massachusetts prison. Mr. Fred, he's designed lethal injection equipment. He's an expert, like an engineer with these gas chambers. So he is the man. He's telling you right up. But I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mr. Juergen. I just wanted to make sure the audience recognized the credentials of Mr. Fred. But go ahead, Juergen.
Yeah, no problem. Anyway, what I during my career with Ernst Sundel, we produced a video with a fellow by the name of Fritz Berg, and he is an automotive engineer from the United States, and it was a video done basically all about exhaust fumes supposedly being used to execute people, etc. And basically, Fred has covered most of that. And as Fritz Berg said, there's lots of better ways of killing people than with regular exhaust fumes. And that's one of the ones that that the Germans were working on long before the war started. And they generally went under the term of gas wagons. And basically, they developed a system whereby it was a bit of an engine, and it was fueled normally by coke briquettes, which is, coke is like charcoal baked down. And when they put it in there, when it bakes, it puts off flammable fumes that get fed into an engine, and then you drive it, right? And those fumes are extremely poisonous, a lot more than any kind of diesel or regular car engines. And they were producing these engines for use in farm equipment and later on in regular vehicles. And matter of fact, at the end of the war, when they were running out of fuel, even some of their tanks were fitted with these kind of engines. So basically, the Germans had all these engines, and they knew perfectly well how deadly they were. And if they were really going to exterminate everybody, that was what they would have been using, and not supposedly all this nonsensical stuff about diesels and other automotive engines. So I just thought I'd mention that. If anybody wants to know about that, you can go on the internet to BitChute or World Truth Videos, type in his name, Fritz Berg, and I'm sure his video will come up somewhere.
By the way, Juergen, give your email address, Juergen, because I know you have a wealth of information on your YouTube presentations and things like that, if you don't mind. So if you will, give the audience your how they can assess your information, Mr. Juergen.
Well, they can go to my internet channels and find out the information. My internet channel on BitChute, that's the platform name, rather than YouTube. I used to have four channels on YouTube, but they took them all down, and I've been banned from YouTube. So, but I found a new home on BitChute. And the channel name on BitChute is John Robinson 101, all one word. So if you go there, you will find lots and lots of information, not just on revisionism, but lots of other things that are of concern to our people. And I have another channel on a platform called World Truth Videos, and it's called Revisionism Archive, all one word. And so I'm putting up all revisionist material on there. And I put up, two or three videos a week or thereabouts. So there's always new content coming. So if you really want to get in there and study and learn about all these things, I certainly would basically blow my own horn and say there's two good sources for you to go to.
They are excellent. Thank you so much for that, Jordan.
Thank you very much.
Fred, I believe you were trying to say something a minute ago.
Yeah, I was just going to say that using the stoves and the wood burning and the charcoal burning devices that Fritz Berg talks about, you'd have to have 1,000 of these things pumping the poison gas into a large area. And the gas would have to have fans and blowers to circulate, and none of this hardware existed, and it wouldn't be practical to build the hardware. I mean, it's too complicated and too complex and nearly impossible to execute many people with gas. And, you know, so, I mean, the problem is that it's not... an easy problem to facilitate. It's not an easy problem to make. And if you put 800 or 1,000 people in a room, you'd have to have a very big room because you need to circulate gas, you need a 3-square-foot area around each person. So none of this stuff is practical. And you can imagine how big a room you'd have to have if you had 1,000 people in a room and each had 3 square feet.
I'd like to ask a question of Bertha, if I may.
Sure.
Bertha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
yes,
you are from Germany, correct?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
So do you have any idea what kind, if any, impact revisionism is having in your country?
Yes, because there is the paragraph 130, I guess. So there is no discussion, or not even a neutral scientific discussion about this. And it's a bit annoying when you are somebody who is late born, and you want to verify and investigate history by yourself. You know, it's getting problematic. So you have two ways: either you do it officially, like you and Fred that did it, or you do it for yourself. You know, and this is, I think, many Germans do or did. At least in my age, the last 20 years, you know, you do it for yourself, and you know it's a difficult topic in public, even within your family, and well, you do it for yourself, and then you know, and then, but at the moment, people more and more are, you know, we have Telegram or you know these chat rooms where people start exchanging this kind of knowledge, what their own findings and what they think and what it is. So it's a bit kind of gathering, networking at the moment. And the last thing I could find yesterday is there's a new video about Stalin and what he did, or what kind of pressure he put on to Germany. And next thing was
Miss Bertha, we have to transition to the second hour. Miss Bertha, Fred, and Jürgen, we're going to a little bit longer break, and then we'll bring you precious people back for the first segment of the second hour. Then we'll let y'all go, and we'll be bringing on some other guests. So hold on your seats, people. Go take a break if you need to. Be right back.